The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And it's another day closer to the time of the second coming of Christ. And God's given us a beautiful day, and He has given us life, and He has given us clothes, food, and everything that is good came from the Lord. And finally, He has paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary. He's died in our place, and so that we can go to heaven without any record that we've ever sinned. And I want to talk today, this program is on the Word of God, the upholding the authority of the Bible. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it talks about that. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and all hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And that is God's word to us today. Now, what this is saying here is that the word of God is the source of the new birth, being born again, not of corruptible seed. And so it's through the word of God, the seed of the word of God, which is the living seed that is spoken and it is told to us, we are born again. I heard a salesman one time, he said, well, I believe in Christianity, but I don't believe in this born-again stuff. And I told him, I said, well, it's Jesus Christ himself that talked about being born again. Because a religious leader of the Jewish people, when he saw the miracles Jesus said, he said, nobody could do these miracles. That is, Jesus demonstrated that he was God by all the incredible things that he did in front of hundreds of thousands of people. And he said, nobody could do this unless God was with them. And then Jesus got right to the point and said, except a man be born again. And this was taken from the Old Testament because God told the Jewish people also in the book of Jeremiah and also in the book of Ezekiel that he would give them a new covenant and put their laws in his heart and in their heart. And so it was taught in the New Testament, and so Jesus taught it. And he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And some people have got that out of context. Water is the physical birth, and a person must be born physically, naturally, and then they must be born spiritually, just as they have been born physically. They need to have a spiritual birth. And Jesus reinforces that idea when he said that which is the flesh, the water birth is the flesh, and the spirit birth is the new birth, is being born again. And he said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Then he explained it, what it meant. And he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And what happened in the Old Testament under Moses, the Jews were complaining against God, and they got to the point where God was angry with them because of their sin of complaining. And so he sent fiery serpents that came among them, and they were dying like flies. And God told Moses, you tell those people to go out and look at that serpent up there. And when they looked at the serpent, they were instantly healed. And the ones that didn't look at it, they physically died a horrible death. And Jesus said, just as the serpent was lifted up, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus took our sins on himself, and he died for our sins. And it's by looking to Jesus, not our church, not our baptism, not Mary, not Joseph, not our religious beliefs, but to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source. And when we look to him for salvation and accept him, we have eternal life. And then Jesus says in the next verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loved us so much. God loved us that he sent the sunshine, the rain, gave us food, gave us clothes, gave us family. But the final act is being punished in our place for our sin so that we would not have to take the punishment. So he says he gave his only begotten Son. Why? To die on the cross in our place. And that whosoever believeth in him, whoever puts their trust in Jesus Christ, shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so you put your trust in him today. Repent of your sins. Put your trust in him, and you will have eternal life. Now, this comes through hearing the word of God, which is alive. Now, I want you to notice another thing it says in this verse. The word of God is incorruptible seed. And, you know, the seed of humankind, as it is passed on, there as mutations take place, and so people are born with parts sometimes missing in their body or with malfunctions in their body, or parts of their body are open to certain diseases. And so the seed is corruptible, but the seed of the Word of God is incorruptible seed. Now, I know people put out corrupt Bibles and corrupt translations, but the true Word of God, nevertheless, will go on through all eternity, and it cannot be corrupted. That's why today we have the program that we have an incorruptible Bible that is the authorized King James Bible. It's called Incorruptible Seed. And today a lot of churches, they've got away from the biblical teaching of preservation. And they have in their church constitution, they say, we believe the Bible is the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God in the originals. Now, actually, if you think about this statement, this is an oxymoron, because they have just stated two opposite things. If they say the Bible is the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God, is a present tense, and that means that the Bible is infallible, inspired, and inerrant without errors today, in our time. It is today. Is a present tense. But if they then add the originals, we don't have the originals, and it's been 1,900 years since they had them. And so you have an oxymoron. You have a direct contradiction there. And it's actually a statement of unbelief, and it is a blasphemous statement with huge implications. And because of statements like that, today we have the counterfeit Bibles that have changed the true words of God in thousands of places. And one of the individuals that was responsible for this was a man named Warfield at Princeton Seminary. And Warfield went to Germany, and there learned a lot of corrupt ideas, and he brought it back to America, and he began to teach it at Princeton Seminary. Almost said cemetery, and that's what a lot of those places are. And he began to teach it, and he taught the theories of unsaved infidels. And they have theories, elaborate theories, to try to reject the Word of God. You know, today, the 99% of the Greek manuscripts back up the authorized King James Bible. And not only that, the ancient texts that were translated in the second century, like the Syriac Peshitta that went all over the Middle East, then went to India, and then went to China, and the Italic texts that came up through Italy, all these texts, they're true texts that back up the authorized King James Bible. And so the Bible says it's incorruptible seed. And in Psalms 12, 6, and 7, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so God says that even if people would put in corruption, and it's like a mountain stream, you put corruption into it, you throw something into it, and it purifies itself as it's running down the mountain. Many of these colleges, they're teaching like it's a muddy stream and you got to go to them, and they'll purify it and based on their particular theories. And so you have to go to them. But thank God he has purified it and given it to us in the Authorized King James Bible. And it lines up with some of the earliest church fathers. You see the earliest church fathers quoting 1 John 5:7. There's three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Tertullian, Cyprian, Clement of Alexandria, and these individuals, they quoted that particular passage. And I'm using that as an example. And so the word of God is incorruptible seed. This is what the Bible teaches. And it cannot corrupt because God will preserve it through all times. Now, the word of God is not only incorruptible seed, but it is alive. In 1 Peter 1:23, it says it liveth. It has a living quality about it. You see, when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, Adam's seed was passed on from generation to generation, and it has physical life in it. And so the true words of God have physical life in them. They're passed on from generation to generation. They're alive. Some people say that we shouldn't use words like being born again or being saved. They tell us we should use other words that are more acceptable. But the words in the Bible are alive. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And the words of the Authorized King James Bible, they are living words and they are powerful words and they can produce life. And the true text goes on, generation after generation. A.T. Robertson at Louisville taught against the received text that the King James is based on. And he said that it's dead. Well, he was wrong because at the time when he was saying that, Billy Sunday was having millions of converts to the Lord Jesus Christ using the King James Bible. And today the King James Bible is being read by the majority of Christians that read the Bible every day. Now, I didn't say the majority of Christians. I said the ones that read it every day because the Holy Spirit bears witness to it. And so it is alive. And, you know, if you get in a religious debate at the factory, you just quote a scripture verse and see what happens. That's usually the end of the debate. And because it has power. You know, if people say, "Well, I don't believe the Bible." Don't worry about that. Just quote the scripture to them anyway, because it is powerful. It has the life of God in those words. "The words that I speak unto you," Jesus said, "are spirit and they are life." And so you use those words. Now, the word of God is something that you have in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth. And it's not only alive, it's something that you have. You know, the Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. These seminaries and colleges are teaching it's only in originals, you know, and so they're up there, and I call it flapdoodleism, correct, in the Authorized King James Bible with their ignorance and their blasphemy. But the Word of God is abides. You always have it. They had it in the Middle East. They had it in India. They had it in China, but at least by the 7th century, we know that. And they had it in the italic text in Italy, coming all the way through the true words of God. And today, they have the true words of God in the King James Bible, but also in other languages. You know, they have a false text, and that's called the Alexandrian text. And the Alexandrian texts are corrupt manuscripts, and it seems like everybody along the way that would translate these or pass these on was changing it to fit their religious opinions. Well, and today we have these corrupt Bibles in the NIV. And, you know, it's not just a matter of one or two verses. There's thousands of changes that have important implications. You know, every time a new Bible comes out, I look at Luke 2:33. Because in Luke chapter 2, Jesus is in the temple at 12 years old, and his mother said, "Your father and I have sought you sorrowfully." And Jesus says in front of the whole crowd, "I must be about my father's business." And he corrects his mother in front of the whole crowd. He says, in other words, Joseph is not my father. God is my father. And he always stated that. And yet in every modern perversion of the Bible, the New American Standard, NIV, RSV, and all the rest of them, it says in Luke 2:33 that Joseph is his father. And so I always look there first. And if it says that, you know that it will kick out the names of Jesus. It'll kick him out of his own Bible. It'll take those names out in 100 places in the New Testament alone and make thousands of changes all through their Bibles. It comes through a fictitious text that is the Alexandrian manuscripts. For instance, two of the main manuscripts they use, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. The Pope's been pushing that since Vaticanus since 1450, and Sinaiticus came out about the year 1859. And these two probably put out by Constantine, who was an Arian and murdered his wife and murdered his son, did not believe that Jesus was Almighty God and thought water was going to take away his sins. He was high priest of the pagan religion. And he put these out. And two of the key manuscripts disagree in the Gospels, 3,000 words alone. And that's what your modern versions are based on. And many of those Greek professors were Arians. They denied that Jesus Christ was God. And this is one of the most fundamental of Christian teachings, that Jesus Christ is God. The Bible says, unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, in Hebrews chapter 1. And I could quote many verses of Scripture. And so these Bibles are Arian Bibles. They had a huge controversy that people that study church history know about, and that was called the Arian controversy at the Council of Nicaea in 325. But we have revived that in the modern versions. We have revived it, and once again, Arianism is being promoted by the modern counterfeit Bibles. And so that's why we have this program. And it's such a fundamental thing. But the Bible says the word of God endureth. And so it's something we have. We can look at the perfect law of liberty. You know, the Bible says that the word of God is nigh us, even in our heart and in our mouth. We don't have to go to Israel and dig it up or find it in a cave. We have it here in the Authorized King James Bible, preserved by the power of God. I'll say it again. The words of the Lord are pure words, a silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Listen, a God that can move those stars within a fraction of a second and those planets within a fraction of a second has the power to keep his words. Our God has all power in heaven and earth, and he said that he would preserve his words, and it's taught all through the Bible. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be back.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
Now, we were talking about it. The Word of God, the Bible says, and we're back to our message here, the Word of God endureth. And it's something we have. It abides with us forever. That is, we have it. And then it endures forever. And that is, God teaches in the Bible preservation of the Scripture. And this is taught over and over again. For instance, he says, this is my covenant with Jacob. The words that I speak shall not depart out of thy mouth or out of the mouth of thy seed or out of the mouth of thy seed seed from this generation forever. And so God has told the Jewish people that they would have the true words of God. And they have it in the Masoretic text, and it's been proved by the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so the King James Bible is based on the Hebrew Masoretic text. One of the Jewish societies said in the 19th century that the text could never be superseded. The King James could never be improved upon, in other words. And so it's based on that Masoretic text. The modern ones are based on changes that people have made to fit their own thoughts and ideas. For instance, Kittle was one of them that changed a mess with the Hebrew text. And, of course, his son, who is a Nazi propagandist, put out this Kittle's Word Study, and they use that sometimes to correct the King James Bible. But the King James Bible is based on the Hebrew Masoretic text. And since God speaks in other languages, said, with men of other tongues will I speak to this people. And so he speaks in other languages, and he can be involved in translations. It's interesting that many of these versions, they'll say, well, God helped us in the translation, or they'll talk like that, but they deny that to the King James translators. Well, I believe that God helped the King James translators and gave it to us, and so we have the Word of God, and we don't need anything else. And then this passage here in 1 Peter 1:23 through 25, it says that the Word of God is preached by gospel preachers who got results. It says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Man physically withers and dies. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. He repeats it again. It lasts forever. And that's the infallible seed. That's the perfect word of God. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And so gospel preachers down through the ages have had the true text. The Roman church has used the Alexandrian corruptions, which all disagree with one another, but and the modern versions are based on this. But the gospel preachers down through the ages, we could just go through them. Polycarp, Patrick of Ireland had it in the italic text. Constantine Silvanus had it in the Greek text in the year 600. Peter de Bries had it in the text of his day in France. Whitfield had it when he came to the United States with the King James Bible, and Billy Sunday, that had thousands of converts, had the true text of the Word of God. And we could go through back through history because we could trace that text all the way back to the apostles through Bibles that are in these museums, having the same text type as the King James Bible. And we have books that show this. You want to know about some books that you can read on this subject? They have the books, and they show right there the ancient Bibles. And then the conclusion of this message is simply this. It says in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, all evil speakings, get rid of this stuff. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And spiritual growth only takes place as you read the word of God, because you see who Jesus is, you see who God is, and you learn how to love God and love your fellow man. And love is giving. In this world, we have the wicked that take, they lie, they cheat, they steal, they rob, they kill, they murder, they rape. All of this stuff goes on all the time. But when you're saved, you learn how to love God and love your fellow man. And so we grow by reading the Word of God. And today, in a recent poll, as I've said before, the majority of people that are reading the Bible every day are reading the King James because the Holy Spirit of God bears witness to it. And you need to read the Word of God every single day and spend time in it. It'll change your mind. It'll give you peace. It'll give you joy. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you might grow thereby. God bless you. You have a wonderful new year. And go with God.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330 330-
562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.